you tired of feeling overwhelmed and anxious about your finances? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Rob West. For many, money is the number one source of stress. But what if you could transform your relationship with money from one of fear and dread to one of trust and joy? Dr. Shane Enett joins us today to discuss how we can do that. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're excited to have Shane Enett with us today. Shane is an associate professor of finance at Biola University and the author of the brand new book, Whole Heart Finances, a Jesus-centered guide to managing your money with joy. Shane, great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Shane, your book is about taking your commitment to Jesus to the next level, including the area of finance. And I know you have a great story about how a game of Monopoly got you thinking along those lines. So why don't we start there?
So the game of Monopoly is usually a game that I dread playing, partly because it just doesn't end. I don't know if you've had that experience.
Yes, but I have.
And I don't like it when I lose. And it's so often it just, you know, you get handed money and then you have to try and do well and you have to kind of accumulate as much as you can. Yeah. And so we were in the process with my friends, you know, we're in community, but we're getting competitive. It's just not fun. And all of a sudden I notice out of the corner of my eye, someone takes some money from the center pile.
Okay.
And you know, you build up some money in this free parking kind of pile in the center. And yes. And then I kind of let it go. And then I saw it again. And then I immediately stood up and said, you know, you're cheating. And he turned super red, my friend. And he said, I'm not cheating. I'm actually tithing. And we couldn't believe what we just heard. And he had been trying to secretly put some of his money back, you know, into this pile. And we thought it was such an amazingly fun type of way to engage the game that we all started to try and secretly tithe. And it transformed the game in the same way Jesus, you know, when he gets entered in and we get a heart to do something different than the traditional way of managing money, it becomes more of a delight to play.
Oh, that's so good. Well, let's continue to unpack the book because there's so much to cover here. Now, you write that the most dangerous question to ask is, should I give away all of my money? Now, why is that so dangerous?
It's kind of a hidden presumption that Jesus doesn't really approve of us having money, that he's mostly spiritual. You know, this Gnostic view that what's good is what's spiritual, what's bad is what's physical. Mm. And because Jesus, you know, answered to the rich young ruler that you should give away everything, and we're already assuming Jesus disapproves of the material world, we just assume, hey, if I'm actually honest and I approach Jesus with a question about my bank account, he's just going to kind of shake his head and say, what are you doing with that money? How about you just get rid of it? Mm. And so if we actually are honest with Jesus with money, it feels very dangerous because he feels like an untrustworthy person that just wants to get rid of our money.
Yes. So help us navigate that. What then is the answer to that question?
I think there's two things to consider. The first is that Jesus is actually has a physical body. And, you know, when he came to earth, he came, word made flesh, and that flesh had to eat, and that flesh had to drink, that flesh had to consider finances. And then he didn't just abandon that flesh, you know, when he died and was resurrected. He actually ascended into heaven and merged the physical world and the spiritual world together, making our financial needs, our physical needs, something that was is real and legitimate. So we can kind of own that and understand that Jesus doesn't despise our physical needs, despise our need for financial planning. And that really takes out so much of the fear. And the other thing we need to consider is that we're in Christ as a Christian. We're in his physical body in a spiritual way. And so there's no dangerous question anymore. It's all grace. There's no way we can earn his love. There's no way we can lose his love if we don't give away everything. And there's no way we can gain his love if we do.
That's so helpful, Shane. That's an important question to answer, and I think you've given us some handles there to think about it. Well, when we come back, folks, we'll continue our conversation with Shane Enett today. He's the author of Whole Heart Finances, a Jesus-centered guide to managing your money with joy. We'll talk about what does it look like and what happens when we separate Christ from our finances. We'll also talk about some exercises you can do to experience joy in managing money more fully. Back with more on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Sometimes we're unsure how to pray. Sometimes our hearts are so heavy, the words simply will not come. The Lord's Prayer helps us in moments like that. And with this prayer, Jesus gives us a pathway to connect our hearts to our Creator. In this prayer, there's a list of petitions, and the second to last one is a tough one. Matthew 6:12 says, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Forgive me. Those are some of the hardest words to say, but when we come before a holy God, what else can we say? We repent, and then we take heart, because when we come in Jesus' name, we know our sins are certainly forgiven. See Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Today we're talking whole heart finances. Our guest today is my good friend, Dr. Shane Enett. Shane is Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University and the author of the brand new book, Whole Heart Finances, A Jesus-Centered Guide to Managing Your Money with Joy. Shane, before the break, we were talking about what it looks like to take the fear out of our money management and lean into Jesus' instruction for us with regard to whole heart finances. But what happens when we separate Christ from our finances?
It's really what we're seeing in culture is we're seeing anxiety and we're seeing alienation. So we're sensing people feel alone with money. And we also see that people feel this great burden of financial responsibility, you know, and we weren't meant to bear all financial responsibility. It's too big of a burden. You know, Christ has promised to be there for us, and the Father has promised to be a good father. And so essentially, when we try and bear full financial responsibility because we don't trust Jesus, we think he's kind of a wild card with money, then we're fracturing our hearts and we're not living with a whole heart.
Yeah, and yeah, that's really challenging, right? Because so often we can try to bear the burden of that, Shane, and we put on top of that just the circumstances that we all face, which can be really challenging. And so what would you say to somebody today who finds themselves in that desperate position financially where they just don't know where that next paycheck is going to come from? How might you encourage them?
You know, I'd say first to meditate on what it means to have God be a good father. And how if we truly believe he's a good father, then there's a certain sense of comfort that comes from that. Yep. And, you know, and the second thing I'd say is try to bring that heart of worry and despair to the Lord. You know, he wants all of us. And too often we'd say, all right, Jesus, you can have all of me except this whole world of money. I don't want you to be a part of it because I don't trust you. And money is so intertwined with our heart and our feelings that it's very, very important to bring those anxieties to the Lord, to bring them as a part of the relationship so that you can grow together in that.
Yeah, no question about it. And what an opportunity for those who have more than they need to lean into being the hands and feet of Jesus and helping those on their path. Now, Shane, as we talk about whole heart finances, I love that you use some illustrations that can help us understand this in the book. And one in particular, you write that we should be like the Sea of Galilee, not the Dead Sea. Share that with us.
So a nature analogy, I feel like it's just a great teaching tool. It helps you see a deeper truth by looking at something that's evident to us. And Paul in 2 Corinthians, he's trying to help the church and the Christians in the Church of Corinth understand how they're supposed to manage money. And what he tells them to do is to excel in the grace of giving. Yeah. And he says that this benefits you. And so I wanted to help provide an analogy for that kind of big concept, big cerebral concept. And what I saw a good analogy was to look to Israel and to look to the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, which are both fed by the Jordan River. So you have these two seas and they're really lakes, but the Hebrew didn't have a word for lake. So they just have sea. I've learned the Sea of Galilee has been renamed to a certain lake. But anyway, so you have this kind of water source of the Jordan River feeding both bodies of water, but one is alive and thriving and the other is dead. And the only reason for the difference is that the Sea of Galilee has an outlet, whereas the Dead Sea just accumulates and accumulates, and then the salt builds up and kills whatever's in it.
Wow.
So this is basically an analogy for we're in a posture of receiving God's gracious provision. And if we just close our hand to it, then there's a certain toxicity that develops and grows in our hearts that kind of kills our ability to do mission.
Oh, I love that. So we want to be a pipeline allowing God's provision to flow through us and not a bucket, if you will, where it stops with us. That's powerful. Let's get practical here, Shane. At the end of each chapter, you recommend doing some what you call whole heart exercises to experience joy in managing money more fully. So share some of those examples.
You know, one of the coolest ones, and this is actually based on research, is to create a financial gratitude journal. So a basic good money practice is to track your expenses in an app like the Faithfi app. Sure. And if you do that regularly, you're treating your role as steward seriously. But I think you can take it to the next level and treat it like a gratitude journal where you're seeing how God is providing his daily bread as you track your expenses and income. And then that becomes a formative liturgy. And so I like to embed my tracking in my quiet time. And I enter into a space of such gratitude because I'm seeing it, you know, with this, you know, car fee or with a mechanic or groceries or utility bill. I'm just overwhelmed with how God is providing his daily bread for me. And so that's a really neat way of doing something that's practical and formative for our walk with Jesus.
Shane, that is so good. Do you have another example for us?
Sure. Yeah. You know, when you think about building, so retirement fund, I like to use the word elder years reservoir and to try and treat it. So borrowing from the Sea of Galilee analogy, You know, we want to have as big of a flow going out of us sustainably over our whole life. And reservoirs, you know, or marshes are tools for a river or body of water to help sustain a flow from the inevitable droughts that may occur or shut off of our water supply. And so we can meditate on our elder years reservoir to figure out what's the amount that will create the greatest sustainable flow over our whole life. And so that is a mathematical question, but it's also a heart question. And so that's another type of exercise you can engage.
Shane, for somebody who wants to take that a step further, because I love that idea, we talk about it often, and set a financial finish line. As you said, there's both a financial side to that equation and a non-financial side. How might you encourage them to think about that either on their own or with their advisor in terms of defining enough?
You know, I think most people approach, you know, with every dollar given, you spend it, you save it, or you give it. And they're all three can be done well, all three can be done poorly. But really, Paul in 2 Corinthians, I think he gives us the answer. He says, of those three, excel in the grace of giving. And so you start by saying, what's the max amount I can give and get away with? And with saving, you think, what's the minimum amount I can save and get away with? Whereas for most people, it's a flipped equation.
Yes.
They say, what's the max amount I can save and get away with? And what's the minimum amount I can give and get away with? And so as a Christian, just because we're in a posture of receiving everything from the Son, the Spirit, and provision, we've been transformed and we're in Christ. And so now we have a different maximizing quest, if you will.
Yeah, and that requires that we start with the why, right? That below the waterline of the iceberg is really the values that should inform the decisions we make each day. Isn't that true?
Yeah, and so I'm kind of obsessed with, let me calculate savings and try and figure out, I think it's proper to have a bit of a reservoir, but I don't want it to be my all. I want the whole purpose of the reservoir to sustain a greater level of generosity.
Incredible. Well, Shane, we've just scratched the surface. We'll have to have you back, but thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Shane Enad. He is Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University and the author of the brand new book, Whole Heart Finances, a Jesus-centered guide to managing your finances with joy. We'll be back with your questions after this break. So call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Or if you'd prefer to email your question, send it to us at askrob@faithfi.com. Stick around.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to turn the corner today and take your calls on anything financial. By the way, always great to have my friend Shane Enett here from Biola University. What a great idea. I love what he finished with today by just thinking about this idea that as we review our expenses, as we review our income and work through our budget on a daily basis, it's an opportunity for gratitude, for our understanding that we're totally dependent upon God, and His gracious gift to us is all that He has entrusted to us. So we can live and we can give and we can save for the future appropriately. And as we do that, as we work out our finances, it doesn't have to bring us anxiety. It should be an act of worship as we see God provide. We see His faithfulness on a daily basis. What an opportunity to trust God. I love the other idea we finished with today with Dr. Enett, and that was this idea that we can set a financial finish line, that we should, yes, spend because we need to provide and even enjoy what we have. We need to save appropriately, but we also should give. And if we're thinking about saving versus giving, we should excel in the grace of giving. We should maximize our giving. So what's the least amount we can save and yet have that reservoir to fund our expenses in the next season of life, whether it's retirement or whatever God calls us to? But how can we excel in our giving right now? And what does that look like? Well, it's a powerful idea to say, how much is enough for me, both in terms of my lifestyle and my accumulation, and am I on track to overaccumulate? Now, some of you might be saying, Rob, I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about paying the bills. I get it. And that may be where you're at today. And we can still see through our finances God at work through His provision, even in those times where we're struggling. But what about those of us who have a bit more than we need? And maybe we are on track to potentially overaccumulate. Maybe we could increase our giving today that would allow us to be a part of God's activity in a more meaningful way right now. Well, it's something to think about, even to pray about as you invite God into your finances. Well, let's turn the corner and take your calls today. What are you thinking about in your financial life? We'd love to hear about it. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Autumn standing by to receive your phone call today. We'll get you in the queue and try to get you on the air quickly with anything financial. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's dive in. Annette is in Georgia. Annette, how can I serve you today?
Yes, Rob. My name is Annette, and I live in Valdosta, Georgia. The reason I called in, my husband's a Vietnam War veteran. He returned from the war with alcohol and a drug problem. Thanks to prayer and his will to do so, he uses neither of these now. About 10 years ago, his nephew approached him about his becoming the trustee of the estate. He told him he had been drinking, and it wasn't a good time. He said, oh, it won't be long, and I'll have you back home. It'll take about 30 minutes, and then I'll have you here. The nephew and his attorney talked him into signing a living trust, which means he can live here till death, but I cannot. Is there any way to avoid this mistake? He doesn't have long now. He's been turned to palliative care due to congestive heart failure, COPD.
Yeah.
Is there anything can be done about this, or is it?
Yeah. Boy, I'm so sorry to hear about all of that, Annette. I know that's heartbreaking and concerning to you. Was it what's called a life estate, or was it a living trust? Do you know?
It's a living trust, which means my husband lives here till he dies.
Yeah.
And there is a there's an account set aside that's supposed to pay in the taxes and insurance, which nephew has been doing that out of my husband's money.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's the first step is for you to get legal counsel because most living trusts, if that's what it is, are written to permit you to revoke or amend them whenever you wish to do so. With a life estate, that cannot be reversed without the consent of both the life tenant and the original owner, known as the remainderman, which would be your husband. And so a life estate deed actually transfers real ownership of the property to the life tenant while that person lives. Once the life tenant dies, complete ownership reverts back to the remainderman or to his estate if the remainderman has already died. So, you know, that would be obviously more difficult. If it's a living trust, it can potentially be revoked or amended. And then you've got this other concerning factor where you're questioning whether he was of sound mind when all of this went down because of his, at the time, his dependence on alcohol. And so I think, I mean, this is clearly a legal matter. I am not an attorney. I think your next step is to go visit with an attorney who can review exactly what is it that's in place today. How is it titled? What is the trust that's there? And what permissions are there for it to be changed, if any? And then also, you know, can you prove that he was not in his, you know, of sound mind when he made this decision and, you know, pursue a legal remedy to this? And I realize you want to try to preserve the relationship, but you also need to protect yourself and get to a place where everybody's wishes are honored in a way that are appropriate. And this at the end of the day is going to be a function of assessing what's already in place legally in terms of the trust, the title, and what can be done to remedy the situation if something was done inappropriately. Do you have an attorney, an estate attorney or a real estate attorney you could contact?
Matter of fact, the attorney that handled this, my husband had already been to him and talked to him prior to that and told him what was going on. And then his nephew goes to the same attorney because his mother taught him in Sunday school.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The challenge is I think you want to be with an attorney who could genuinely represent your interests and would not be conflicted with having the nephew as a client. So what I would do, Annette, if you don't have one, I'd either reach out to your church and ask for a referral to an estate or a real estate attorney, or you could contact a certified Kingdom advisor here in Georgia and ask for a referral. All CKAs would have an estate or real estate attorney that they work with who's a godly man or woman. So just go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, do a zip code search, and ask for a referral. Again, that's faithfi.com, click Find a Professional. We'll pray, Annette. Lord gives you wisdom on this. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
We need a king. That was true for Israel in the times of the judges, but the king they needed was God himself. And the same holds true for us today. So join me, David Wolin, on the next week of Haven Today as we dig into the Old Testament in a series called The King We Need.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. learn more, and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, I was talking a moment ago about setting a financial finish line so you can do more giving right now. Well, one of the places you can direct that giving is to the American Family Association Foundation. If you want to do some additional giving right now, it could look like a gift of appreciated stock. It could look like a charitable gift annuity where you get an immediate partial deduction, get an income stream for life, and ultimately fund the work of the American Family Association at death. Perhaps you have another appreciated asset. Whatever that might look like today, even a qualified charitable distribution out of your IRA, maybe you need to take a required minimum and you don't need the money. God has provided. So you could direct that over to AFA, get the full amount working in God's kingdom, and you don't recognize it as income while you satisfy your required minimum. All of that can be done when you contact Chelsea and Riley and the team at the AFA Foundation. Just head to afafoundation.net. That's afafoundation.net. They'd love to talk to you today about how you can support the culture-transforming work here at the American Family Association. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got a few lines open. If you have questions, we've got answers today. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'll go to North Carolina. Hi, Patricia. How can I help?
Hello. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
my question is, I'm looking at doing some home renovation, doing some work to my house. And my question is, what is the best questions to ask the contractors if I want to use my home insurance? What is the best questions to ask the contractors? So they won't be trying to jack the prices up to, you know, get over on you. I know Lowe's and Home Depot are going to charge what they're going to charge, but say if it's like a personal contractor, someone that owns their own business, of course, make sure they license.
Yes.
So that's
yeah, I think
question.
There's you're wise in thinking through this, Patricia, ahead of time. I think there's several categories of questions you want to ask. You mentioned one of them, and that's licensing and insurance. Are you licensed and insured for the type of work being done? And ask to see proof of both of those. You also might want to ask, do they have workers' compensation insurance for their employees? This protects you from liability if a worker's injured on your property. I think the second category would be experience and references. How long have they been in business? and how much experience do they have, and can they provide references from a customer with a similar job? When we get into contracts and pricing, what you want to know there is you want to know if they will provide a detailed written contract specifying not only the scope of the work and the materials they're going to use in the timeline, but certainly the total cost as well. And you're going to want an itemized breakdown of the labor and the materials and other expenses, and then whether or not there's any potential additional costs that you should be aware of that aren't included in the estimate, and whether that's a guaranteed price, you know, not to exceed, or whether there is the possibility it could go higher. And then I think perhaps the last two categories, one would just be with regard to the work itself. Who will be assigned as the project manager? How can you communicate with them? If there's permits involved, you know, are they going to pull those? And, you know, how are they going to protect the rest of the home during the repairs? I mean, there's dust and debris and that kind of thing, depending on the kind of work you're being that's being done. And then finally, Patricia, is the warranties and the guarantees. So is there any kind of warranty or guarantee that's, you know, offered on the materials and the workmanship, and then how long would that be in would that be covered? So I think if you kind of move through these categories, licensing, experience, pricing, the work process, and then warranties, that probably would, you know, give you everything you need to know. And then I think the only thing left is just to make sure you get more than one bid. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so would I contact my insurance first and ask them?
So are you looking to do this under, yeah, is this under a homeowner's insurance policy or a home warranty?
Homeowner's insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to want to call the insurance company first because you're going to want to know whether they're agreeing to pay for this, depending on what happened. And, you know, they may or may not, depending upon your policy and what the situation is. So absolutely, that's the first call, is to say, here's what I'm looking to be done. I believe this is something that should be covered under my homeowner's insurance policy. Please tell me what the step is to get that pre-approved by you, and then are there certain contractors I need to use, or do I just need to go out and find my own and submit that bid to you before I agree, you know, or commit to do the work, because you just don't want any surprises with regard to their willingness to pay for that.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Patricia. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for calling today. Lines are open. Our team is standing by. We'd love to hear from you. Financial questions at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Randy. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I have a question about, I have a pension. My husband has a pension. That covers our monthly bills. And his Social Security, he does take it. We have it in a savings that's making hardly any interest at all. But that also covers the emergency.
Okay.
But so I'll be coming into, 66 and a half. I'll take the Social Security for myself.
Yes.
And that was my question is, what do you suggest? Where is a good place to invest or put the that extra check?
Yeah. Well, I think the first question, Randy, is should you take it at 66 and a half? And it, what I'm hearing is you don't need that money to balance your budget. So the question is, would you rather take it, money that you don't need, and turn around and invest it, or would you rather leave it there? And the reason you'd leave it there is you're going to get a guaranteed increase in that check of 8% for every year you wait to take it up to age 70. Now, it doesn't make any sense to wait past age 70 because you don't continue to get that increase. But you're not going to find a guaranteed increase of 8% anywhere else, that's for sure. Now, what's the downside to waiting? Well, the only downside is you're giving up the money that you could collect between 66 and a half and 70, and you would have to live probably until 82, that's generally the way it works out, to be paid back for the money you didn't take between 66 and 70 in the form of a higher check. And then from 82 on, you'd have a check about 25% higher for the rest of your life, and you're, quote, in the money at that point. So I think that's the first question. Have you considered that?
Yes.
Okay.
I have. And, so, and with the growing economy and the expenses of, real estate, property, everything, I'm seeing that my checking account is going down. So okay. I've even questioned about going, instead of putting the first Social Security check into savings, starting to, what should I put that back into, or put that into the checking account just to feel secure? That's my problem.
Okay. Yeah. No, so that makes sense. So if it's a budget issue, then yeah, I'd put it in the checking account, create your budget, and then to the extent you have surplus, you may want to boost that emergency savings. And then if you want to, if you truly have something beyond that, then I would question whether it makes sense to take it or not. If you don't, and you want to invest it because you've already decided to take it, then it's a matter of, okay, what's the right breakdown of the investments between stocks and bonds? So let's do this. I've got to take a break, but on the other side of the break, we'll talk about the investment piece. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow Him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We may have room for one more question here in our final segment beyond what's already waiting in the queue, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Randy in Virginia. She and her husband are both over 65. They have a pension coming in. She has a Roth. He has an IRA. She's going to be taking here pretty soon her Social Security at 66 and a half, full retirement age. And what she's seeing is, although she has a fully funded emergency fund, her checking account balance is just slowly declining because expenses are up. We all know that, right? We're all feeling that every day. And so she's seeing that this Social Security check of around $2,200 a month could shore up that budget. And she's also asking if she has any left over, what to do with it. So I guess what I would say, Randy, is probably step one as you begin to receive this check is to really dial into that budget, that spending plan, and find out how much do you actually need each month to truly balance the budget so that we're maintaining, if not slightly increasing, that checking account balance every month, certainly not seeing it decline. And what you may find is that when everything's in there, not only the things you get a bill for every month, but even those non-recurring expenses like, you know, gifts for family and friends and, you know, maybe a quarterly insurance payment or Christmas gifts, you know, things like that that don't come every month, that, you know, maybe you need almost all of that $2,200. But to the extent you have, let's say, $500 or $1,000 left, and you've demonstrated over some number of months, 2, 3, 4, 5 months, that you are in fact able to balance the budget, then if as long as your emergency fund is fully funded and you don't have any debt, then I would agree with you. Putting that money aside and even investing it could make some sense. And that's the portion that you're talking about. Is that right? Okay, so let's say that ends up being $500 a month, $6,000 a year. You know, if you have earned income, either you or your husband, then you could put that in a Roth or a traditional IRA. If you don't, then you could just invest it in a taxable account. And I would say, you know, at 65, I mean, typically what we would be looking for is probably a, you know, a 60-40 portfolio. 60% in fixed income or bonds, 40% in stocks. You could use a, you know, a balanced mutual fund for that. You know, I'd love for you to have maybe 5% in gold, which you could buy through one of the ETFs. But I think generally speaking, just kind of at a high level, a nice high quality, low cost, good performing, balanced mutual fund with roughly a 60-40 bond to stock breakdown would probably be the right one or the right approach. But I would hold off on that until you demonstrate over some number of months that you have, in fact, kind of stopped the bleeding with regard to the checking account. Does that all make sense?
It does. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Very good.
All right.
Well, if I can help you at anything else along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. May God bless you. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hello. I was talking to the banks this week, and I have two IRAs, a traditional and a Roth, and I was wanting to roll them over into something that would make more money because I'm only getting 1.5%, and the majority of the money is tied up in those accounts. And I talked to one of the banks, and they said I could roll it over into – they said it was an IRA or it was a IRA account, but it was a CD that I would have to do something with it in 3 years. And so I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
Hmm. How much do you have between the two IRAs, Karen? Do you know roughly?
A little over $100,000.
Okay. And how many different CDs do you have that make up that $100,000?
Two. I have a traditional and a Roth.
Okay. And it's are they the traditional and the Roth, the money in each one, are they is all of the money in one CD currently in each of the accounts?
It's not in a CD yet. It's just right now it's in an account that just says IRA traditional and IRA Roth.
Oh,
and
got
then
it.
I was the mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then that's what's earning the 1.5% because you're basically just in their
right.
money market or something like that. Okay. And what are they offering you in terms of the rate on that CD?
They said I think it was going to be 5%.
Okay. And for how long?
3 years.
Okay. If you could get 5% for 3 years, that's great. I mean, that's a better rate than you're going to find just out there on the open market. I mean, typically when you get beyond 2 years right now, you're down closer to 4. So I would be surprised if they're going to offer you that for a full 3 years. But if they are, that's a pretty good deal because right now, you know, a 1 year rate, you could get up close to 5.5. But as soon as you get out 2, certainly 3 years, you're going to be down closer to 4 just out there on the open market. Let me ask you this. How do you view this money? Is this money you feel like you're going to need any portion of it in the next 3 years?
No, I'm saving it till I get completely retired and can't work anywhere.
Okay. And so, how far off is that, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think? 10 years, maybe?
Okay. All
maybe
right.
10 years.
Yes, ma'am. So, and what is your age currently, if you don't mind me asking?
67.
Okay. So you're feeling good and you want to continue to work as long as you can. And
right.
have you decided you really don't want to take any risk with this? Are you only interested in guaranteed type investments?
Well, I'm just concerned about about distributions when it comes time for that.
Yeah.
And what happens to it? What are they going to say in 3 years? What do I do with it then?
Well, that's what I'm, yeah, and that's why I'm asking, because your required minimums aren't going to come. Well, you won't have them on the Roth. On the traditional, that's not going to come until you're at least 73, based on the current law. So you've got 6 years before you have that. And I guess what I'm saying is, given that you have, and none of us know for sure, only the Lord does, on how long you're going to be able to continue to work. But let's say you are working for the next 10 years and you don't need to touch this money. That 5% for 3 years, that's great. But to your point, what about beyond that? And I think given this high inflation, really the best way to overcome inflation, given that, you know, things cost more and that, you know, the primary thing that's going to hurt your ability to fund your lifestyle, you know, for the rest of your life, however long the Lord has you here, is going to be inflation, which erodes your purchasing power. And let's say you're to live into your 90s or beyond, we need this money to last a long time, which is why I would typically, for somebody in your situation, say, let's take that $100,000, let's move it out of the bank, let's hire an advisor who would probably, you know, do a 60-40 or a 70-30 portfolio of bonds and stocks. And the idea would be that it's a fairly stable portfolio. It has some growth potential longer term, beyond 3 years, and therefore you can kind of maximize the growth over the next 10 years with a goal of, let's say, 6-7% annualized returns, if not 5-6%, but something at or better than the CD. Yes, you're taking a little bit more risk, but you've got a longer time horizon because, you know, even once you get to the place where you need to start drawing money out of this, let's say that's 10 years from now, you potentially need this money to last another one or two more decades beyond that. And so that's where having a thoughtful investment strategy can make some sense. And I would say you'd want to hire an advisor to do that for you. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, that sounds good, but I don't really understand what when the 3 years is up, I'll just roll it over again into the
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm offering an alternative to the CDs. So can you do the CDs at 5% for 3 years? Absolutely. And that would be a no-brainer. But what I'm saying is, instead, what you could do is connect with an advisor today, probably interview two or three. I'd recommend Certified Kingdom Advisors there in Indiana. And what you do is, instead of going into the CD, you'd roll the two IRAs, the Roth and the traditional, out to an advisor who would build a portfolio with an eye toward you starting to take an income from this sometime in the next 10 years, and where they would try to grow it at a reasonable rate, conservatively, and protect it at the same time. Now, there is more risk there for sure, because even though nothing is riskless, a CD guaranteed by the U.S. government is a lot less risky than you being in stocks and bonds. But you have a better longer-term return potential in stocks and bonds. And I would say even at 67, you know, you need to have a time horizon, unless the Lord has something else in mind, of the next three decades, because people are living longer. I mean, you have a better than 50% chance as somebody who's a female woman over 65 of living into your 90s. That's just the reality today. So what I would say is, either, yes, you go into the CD and then we deal with this in 3 years. And I can promise you, well, I can't promise you, but I can say I expect rates are going to be lower, or you move to an advisor today who's going to manage this money for you. Does all that make sense, though?
Yes, it does. Okay, that's great. So a Kingdom advisor is really what you advise.
It is, yeah. And I'd go to our website, faithfi.com, and just click find a professional. And I'd interview two or three and see the one that's the best fit. And listen, pray about this. And if at the end of the day you're just not comfortable and you want to just roll it into the CDs, go for it. I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I just want you to kind of take at least consider a longer-term perspective that allows you to, you know, grow this money and offset the effects of inflation over a longer period of time, as opposed to just the next 36 months. And then as the Lord leads, I think you'll have a peace about which direction you should go. Hey, God bless you, Karen. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Martin and Carol, I apologize we didn't get to you. If you want to stay there, Autumn will see if we can get you scheduled to be first on tomorrow's broadcast. I'd be delighted to talk to you. Folks, we're so thankful that you tuned in today and that you joined us on the program. We'd love to be able to engage with you, however we can serve you, head to faithfi.com, a wealth of resources. Find a CKA, find broadcast archives, and you can give to support our work here as a listener-supported ministry, especially here in the month of June as we're headed toward our year end. A gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us close out our year strong. Faithfi.com, just click give. Big thanks to my team today, Autumn, Taylor, and Jim. Also, Devin, couldn't do it without him. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.